rebels all came to him, bowed before him and worshipped him and said, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They were afraid of him. They knew who he was, the power. And that's why God gives us, he says to us, Jesus in his teaching tells us, says, no one can go into a strong man's house and rip him off and steal his stuff unless you bind that strong man first. Then you can go in and steal all his stuff. And he goes on to say that the only way that a strong man or any man or any force can come into you and rob you is if they're stronger than you. Or if they trick you, because the Bible also said, Jesus said, that they rob you of your armor. They take the armor in which you trusted and then they can overcome you. And we're going to look at that. We all heard of the armor of the Lord, right? Why did God write it in Holy Scripture for us? You know, I've heard it since I've been a Christian, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think about it a lot. I used to, like, when I hear a message or something, then it's like, oh yeah, but then it fades. A month later, I'm not even thinking about, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girded about with truth, the shield of faith. I mean, I know them, but I'm not thinking about them. And I don't know if you have to think about them to have them, but I think we should. I think we should think about the stuff that God tells us to think about. I think that we ought to be aware because, listen, God wants you to be happy. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Matter of fact, he says it over and over again. He wants you to have joy. And how much joy? Joy unspeakable. Like you can't even, I got so much joy, I don't even know what to say. That's what he said. I didn't. You know me, I don't have much joy. So when he says joy unspeakable, what do you think he means? Like, I just can't even tell you. Woo! That's what he says. And he says, and full of glory. You know who has glory? God. Joy is full of God. Having joy, the joy of the Lord is my
strength.
Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is my strength. So what does the devil want to do? To take your strength, make you weak, and do what? Yeah. Get you not happy. An unhappy Christian is a tool. A tool of the devil. Devil uses that unhappy Christian to complain. Oh man, complaining and murmuring is one of the greatest weapons the evil one has that will move. You're a puppet is what you are. He has his hand inside of you and he's moving your mouth. And because that's what God, you know what God hates more than anything? What's the Bible say God hates more than anything?
Lying.
Close, no. What does the Bible say he hates more than anything? It's an abomination to him. Causing division among the brethren. Causing the brethren to fight and argue. Think about that. God says it's an abomination. It's of the devil. How does the devil get in there to do that? Because people are weak. And so therefore, God wants to give us plans and tell us how to be strong. Amen? The Bible tells us, be strong in the Lord. And the power of what? His might. We need to be stronger because this world is not our home. It's not our friend. It is not Christian friendly. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is not spiritual, God's spirit friendly. It is actually the opposite. Can I get an amen? Do you think God knows that it's the opposite? Of course he does. What does he say? He says, be not friends with the world. Don't be a friend of the world, because if you're friendship with the world, you're an enemy of God. How can I be an enemy? Because you're not helping the cause of God, you're hurting the cause of God. So when you are murmuring, complaining, what does that do? It causes division. It's a tool of the devil. So God tells us, he says that the devil comes to rob, nothing but to rob you, to kill and to destroy. Amen. So the first thing he wants to rob you of is your armor. He wants to take away anything that will stop you, use you, or make you able to stop him. And that's what I just want to look at this morning. And I want to just show you, and turn with me please to Ephesians chapter 6. And we know the... In Ephesians chapter 6, we've been going over the spirit world, and we've been going over all the spirits, and one thing you need to know, and I know you know this, but you need to like reaffirm it, there are evil spirits out there. There are devils out there. So what did God do? He gave us His Son to defeat the powers of the evil one. The devil had a lot of power. He had a whole lot of power. You know where he got it? Because he was created with it. God didn't take it from him when he fell. God just made him ugly and made him twisted. Right? God didn't make him twisted, sin did, but God allowed him to keep his power, which is a phenomenon to me. But God did it because He knows what He's doing. But here, this devil, the devil that was the archangel, or was the cherub, the anointed cherub that covered God. He was perfect in all his ways. He's now on this earth, and he's, trust me, he's the opposite of perfect. He is our enemy. He's our adversary. He's wicked, and he wants to hurt you in ways that he knows is more important. You know, it's way more hurtful in your heart than it is your body. When your heart's hurt, who can heal a broken heart? It's worse than a broken bone. Who can heal a broken spirit? Who can heal depression and darkness and despair? Those are real things, and they attack us all, don't they?
Yeah.
I'd rather, you know, I've always been that way, like roofing and football and just being a guy. I'd come in and I'd have scratches all over me, and some things are bleeding and bruises, and people are like, where'd that come from? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't even remember it happening, right? Like, you don't even feel it. I don't care. The body, I honestly don't feel pain like that. But you get me sad, you get me angry, you get me depressed, and oh man, I feel that. And so what God did is He gave us His Son, Jesus, to take the penalty of everything that God, man could ever do, so that God can have absolute peace with us because of the grace of God. So that He can have communion with us and fellowship with us. So that His Spirit can be given to us freely by God. And now we have a gift from God. And that Spirit in us is greater than the spirit that's in the world.
Amen.
Greater than the devil. Greater than the evil. Greater than the deception. Greater than depression. Greater than all that things. Before you leave, say hello to Miss Barb. I know you didn't know she was here. Amen. My wife and my two children are deserting me. They're deserting us. They don't love us anymore. They are traitors. They are the Judases of the church. I'm really ripping them up. No, the girls go to Concord Christian School, and they have a choir thing singing, but it's at another church. And so I'm like, what? On Sunday morning, you're leaving our church to go sing? So look at it. They know that I'm not happy, so I'm going to act like I'm happy. Amen. So just get back here quickly. No, absolutely not. Get right back here. No, amen. No. You're never allowed to leave church no matter what. What? Okay. Thank you. Amen. Yeah, I was going to really... I've been busted. Like when I just got home from deer hunting, and the girls came up, and you could see they were all timid, and I'm like, what's up? You know, like, why are they being nice to me? Like, really nice. And they like, Papa, we have to sing in the choir. I'm like, oh, great. That's great. School? No, in church. I'm like, what church? Whose church? When? What time? At 11 o'clock? I'm like, what? And I was not happy. And they were like, you should have seen them. They were so timid. So anyway, let's keep going. You can't let things even like that bother you. Because if it bothers you, if the devil gets a place inside, what's he going to do? He's not going to just take a little. Is he going to take a lot? And it's so easy to get bothered. Come on, help me. It's so easy to get annoyed. Come on. It's so easy to let someone rub you the wrong way. Can I get it? So come on. You know it's easy. So we need to be stronger. Amen. We need to have some armor. We need to have something guard against that. And that's the problem with Christians today. We're weak. Can I get an amen? We're weak. You're weak. I'm weak. You know why? Because the Bible tells us, God over and over says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not the joy of your money. Not the joy of the Eagles winning today. Not the joy of Super Bowls and World Series. Not the joys of vacations and hunting and get the biggest deer. Not the joys of having the best chocolate chip cookies or the best chili I ever had last week. None of that. It's the joy of the Lord. So that's where we have, it says, be strong in the Lord. So just, I know these, I'm keep on hammering home, but you have to realize it's not something that you get. And it's not something you have. You don't go get up in the morning and say, I'm going to go put on my armor, because the armor is the Lord. The armor is God. And what's the Bible say? Put on Jesus Christ. And when you put on Christ and you walk with Christ and you have the knowledge in your head of what He has given us, and what He is to us and who He is, then you can start to walk with the breastplate of righteousness and the loins girt about with what? Truth. Amen. You can have on your mind the helmet of salvation. And then when the devil tries to attack you, you're guarded up.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6 says this, verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, just in that verse, what do you see? First thing I say is whole armor, not some of it. First thing I say, he says, put on the whole armor. So why would God tell us to do something if we didn't need to do it? Can I get an amen? So it's very important. He says, put on the whole armor. He's telling us what to do. If God was here right now, Jesus Christ appeared right here, was in front of us, and we're in awe, and he said, put on the whole armor of God, everybody. I think, you know, most of us would be like, okay, but we wouldn't do it. So it's something we have to do. Look what he says. Why? He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You may be able to stand against that serpent. That you may be able to stand. Because the problem is we are with the armor of God, we're able to stand and withstand. Amen? But without the armor of God, there's a really good chance we won't. And what does he mean by stand? Does that mean knock you down on the ground? No. It means stand against him.
Right.
Standing against him. Yeah. See, it's not hard. It's complicated when you want to be a Christian. Because I want to be kind and merciful and loving and caring. But I also want to be strong and bold as a lion. How do I bring these two together? You know, I want to be forgiving, but I also want to be teaching and communicate righteousness and holiness. I want to be a pastor, and I also want to be a father. You know, I want to be a friend, and I want to be a brother. I want to love my neighbors and love my enemies, but I also want to hate evil. It's like, how do I put these things together? And that's where we are here in Sunday school. We have a Bible. We have a relationship with God. Amen. And He will reveal these things to us. You just don't pick it up. But look what he says, that you may be able to withstand, to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the wiles mean that the devil's really wily. Like Wile E. Coyote? No. Wile E. Coyote was a dumb knucklehead. He always had the anvil fall on himself. He was not like that. He was, the devil knows exactly what he's doing. He's very smart. And this is how he gets you. You ready? You ready? Your emotions. How easy is it to get your emotions? Come on. He's not going, listen, don't blame the devil for everything, because most of it's our own fault.
Amen.
The devil doesn't even need to do anything to most of us. We hit ourselves on hammers all the time. You know, and the devil's just laughing, and then we're like, that devil, whack. I can't believe the devil's doing this, and we're hitting ourselves. But what we need to do is we need to guard our hearts. We need to make sure our minds are sober and gird up together, so that we know when something is attacking us, because we're getting affected in here, right, Zach? I'm getting angry. I'm getting jealous. I'm getting envy. You know what I mean? You can feel it coming on. What are you supposed to do about it? And that's what God says. You are realizing there's a crack in the armor, or maybe you don't have the armor on at all. Look in verse 12. He tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That sounds pretty powerful, doesn't it? Against powers, that sounds pretty powerful. Against rulers, whoa, that sounds pretty powerful. Of the darkness of this world. What can you think of the darkness when you think of the darkness of this world? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Evil.
Terrorism, evil. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of darkness?
Television,
okay. That's not the first thing that comes to my mind, but darkness. Listen, I'm talking darkness. Not principalities, but darkness. When you think of darkness, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Sadness.
Say it again.
Sadness.
Darkness. Depression. Darkness. Despair. Darkness is the opposite of light. Darkness is where we all were. And darkness is where God delivered us from.
Right.
From the power of darkness under the power of God. And so therefore we need to walk in the what? Light. Because if we're not walking in the light, the darkness has us. And I'm tired of people. I got to phrase it the right way. Because I don't have a problem with depression. I don't. Never did. Oh, I get depressed, but I immediately get undepressed. Amen? All I got to think of is a chocolate chip cookie and I'm back up happy. It's like I'm easy. I don't stay depressed. My dog died. I get depressed, but I get over it because all dogs die. You know, my mom died. My dad died. Our son died. You know, it's like my friends leave me. There's things you get depressed about, but I don't stay there because it doesn't help me or anyone else. And so I know not to stay there, but there's other people that the slightest little thing gets them depressed and gets them down. And I'm saying to myself, are they even near Jesus? Because yes, even though all forsake you, yes, even though you get your cancer and death and diseases, yes, even though everyone around you dies, even though nothing goes wrong, I still got Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why we have to stop looking at the physical and start dwelling in the spiritual, because it is the spiritual battles that we're fighting every day. Jesus just told us, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, physical. You're wrestling against spiritual things. You're fighting against them. How many times, honestly, just this past week, were you down? Yeah. But how many times this week did you stay down more than 4 hours? Anybody? One, two, three? One. You shouldn't. You shouldn't be there down that long. Because as soon as you get down, where's down it? In here, right? It's in here, right? As soon as you get down in here, that helmet of salvation, first of all, should be on there first time. So you shouldn't get down there. But when you do, you think, I have a helmet. Of what? Salvation. And then what do you do? What's that mean? On my mind, salvation is on my mind. Jesus is on my mind. I'm not going to hell is on my mind. I'm going to heaven's on my mind. Jesus Christ loves me. He's never going to forsake me. I'm going to win. Hallelujah. So you go from down there to up here by the helmet. Keep reading. It says in verse 13, wherefore, because of all this, take unto you the whole armor of God. And he says it again, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, how many of us really have done all? That's the thing, is we are under attack every day. And know what he wants to attack us? Our strength. What's our strength? Our joy. Our joy. And we have every reason to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
We have every reason to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is kind. The Lord is long-suffering. The Lord is gentle to me. Thank you, Lord. Because I ask the Lord sometimes, Lord, please correct me. Please, but do it in mercy. I can't take anymore. There's a whole lot that I'm taking, but I can't, you know, I just don't want it to be really bad. So, Lord, and He's gentle. He's gentle. And He's wonderful, and He's kind, and He loves me, and He cares for me, and He loves you, and He loves your children and your grandchildren. He's amazing. And that's why it says, withstand that evil day, and having done all to stand. We need to do more, people.
Amen.
You know why? Because your family and your neighbors and the work that we have to do, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, and the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there.
Amen.
And it says, when our work on earth is done, and God, we hear God say, well done. And that's what it's all about. How can it be? The devil doesn't want you. He can't stop your salvation. Thank God.
Amen.
He cannot. So he hates you, and he wants, if he can't get you to not be saved, he's going to get you to have nothing when you get to heaven. And so therefore we need to overcome. Look in verse 14. It says, stand. He says it again, therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. You know, what is truth? The Bible tells us some things about truth. Look in Luke 12:35 with me, please. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter 1. In Luke 12:35.
Amen.
It says this, let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. He just said, let your loins be girt about with truth. And he says, let your lights burning. What happens when you know the truth? What does it say in John 8:32? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what, people? Free from the wiles of the devil. Free from the under attacks. Because listen to me, you might be under attack right now. Or today, or yesterday, or tomorrow. And so therefore you need to realize it's coming. Amen? It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're under attack and the darkness is at the door, And there's powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness and high places. And what, they're not there to kill you. Please listen to me. The powers that be aren't there to rob your VCR. They're not there to take your cash and that you got hidden under your pillow. They're not there to take your guns. They're not there to take your Bible. They're there to take your joy. Isn't it simple? Because if you wake up singing, right, Tony? Yo, Joe, did you wake up singing lately? What was the song you wake up singing?
This morning was
Come on. You wake up with a song on your heart. Amen. You wake up with some joy, and that's automatically, the devil hates that. He wants to get that song out of your heart. He wants to get the truth out of that you are loved beyond measure. You are saved beyond measure. God has you, and he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He's with you now. He's going to be with you then. He's always never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You will overcome. You will have victory in Jesus. It will all work out. They're words that we have to say to one another, but that's what God tells us. It's going to be okay. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? You die. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I don't want you to die, because God says you got work on this earth to do. It's not. Listen, it might be good for you to go, but it's not good for us. I don't want you to go. Your kids don't want you to go. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, Christmas is coming up. I'm looking for those cookies and stuff. Now, don't go yet. Amen. Right, Mrs. Howe? I'm sorry about that. I'm okay. My point is that you wake up in the morning and they want to take your joy. Anton, you got any things in your life trying to take your joy? How about you, Robin? You got anything trying to take your joy? How about you, Frank? You got anything trying to take your joy in the morning? Yeah, a few things. Well, just remember that we need to be, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what did God do, Tony? What did God give us? One of the things God gave us to keep us happy and filled in the Spirit. What is it, Tone?
Hymns.
Yeah, hymns. Hymns, songs, and spiritual songs and music. He's given us music. Get songs in your heart. Every day I have playing all day long over at my house, even right now, Pandora and piano hymn music. It's just the piano playing. It just keeps a nice steady, and the devil hates it. Amen? Look with me again, please. Back in Ephesians. In Ephesians it says, It says, with the gird your loins with what? Truth. And truth is so powerful. If you have the truth, if you have the truth, can you be sold a lie? Sometimes, but not really. If you have the truth and you know the truth, what will you do for the truth? If you have the truth and you know what the truth is, doesn't it make you stronger? If you have the truth and you know the truth, doesn't it make you bolder? If I know the truth and someone's trying to tell a lie, I don't usually just sit down and be quiet. I have to say something because I know the truth. The Bible says truth is light, and we're supposed to be light. Truth is manifestation of what is real and what is not. I feel like a woman. No, you're not. There's only two genders, okay? There's only two. You're a man or a woman, one or the other. I'm both. No, you're not. It's like we have truth. We can't be bamboozled by these people. You know what I mean? A baby in a womb is just a clump of cells. No, it's not. It's life. Amen. It's a human being life. So we can't be. We have truth, right? Can I get an amen? Help me now. We have truth in certain areas of our life that we know nothing is going to take that truth. And let me ask you, Robin, is it ever okay to board a baby and say it's and say it's okay? Is it ever okay? No. Why? Because it's a human being. Am I able to talk? I'll talk you out of that.
No.
How about you, men? You got anybody got a gun? Anybody got guns? Amen. Can somebody talk you out of how guns are bad and you better give them up to the government? Anyone ever going to? Come on, help me. Right, because you know you have truth. But how come when it comes to spiritual matters and truth in the Word of God, we're like, well, maybe. You should be out witnessing. Well, maybe the other guy. You should have joy all the time. Yeah, but you know, that's not realistic. You should have peace. Peace that rules your heart. Yeah, I know, but that's only in the Bible and for some people. You should be an example for people for Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know, but my life's tough. You see what I'm saying? Like, we'll pick certain things and we'll stand on them and I ain't moving. I'm a rock on this. But then other things in the Bible are like, we get beat up. and we can end up changing our minds. Look in 1 Peter, please, 1 verse 13. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 says, wherefore, he's telling us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your what? Now, where does truth come from? It comes from in the mind. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to know the truth, believe the truth, and know it's true. You have to know it's true, not hope it's true. Hey, did you ever talk to someone, say, if you were to die today, do you know you're going to heaven? What do they usually say? I hope so. I hope so. But when I ask you, and if I say to Miss Fran, if you die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? See, I am, yes. And that's why it says, gird up the loins of your mind, because truth makes you free from that darkness and the lies of the devil. And he's trying to get a way in. And what he's trying to do is get into your gut, get into your heart, get into your mind. And we have to realize that. Are you loved or not?
Amen.
I know you don't feel it sometimes, but is our life based on feeling? Based on facts. Fact, God is.
Right.
Fact, Jesus did. The fact he is in me. That's why he tells us that you need to know the truth. Amen. Look what it says. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That means minded. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Look in Isaiah 59 real quick, if you don't mind. 59. Then we're going back to 1 Thessalonians 5. Isaiah 59. This whole thing about girding up and your loins and all this. Look in verse 17. I'll read it and you can catch up. Isaiah 59:17. It says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. So this thing that Paul writes in New Testament is an old story. It's the Jews understood about putting on the whole armor of God. They understood it because the Old Testament talked about it. They knew it wasn't a real armor. They knew it was a spiritual armor. Amen. And you know what happens when you try to do something in the physical? It doesn't fit you. Like David, when he tried to put on Saul's armor, he said, I haven't proved it. It doesn't fit right. You know what God does? He fits every person just perfect. God puts, when you can't say, I got to put God on and he just doesn't fit right, then you don't know God. Because God knows you perfectly. Amen. And when he makes you a coat, oh man, that coat is perfect. Right, Joe? I'm keeping the coat. Remember the message? We had a great time one Sunday night, and the message about the garment that gave the people to come in, and the king comes out and the one guy didn't have the coat on. Amen. And I told him, we preached about the coat, and I kept saying, I'm keeping the coat. I'm not taking this baby off. I like it. Fits me good. Amen. And I'm not taking it off. And that's everything you say. Well, the helmet of salvation doesn't fit me right. Well, the truth, the loins of truth doesn't fit me right. Or the breastplate doesn't, I don't feel right in it, right? No, then you have the wrong armor. Because I'll tell you right now, you know what thing fits me really good is knowing God loves me.
Amen.
That fits me just fine. Amen. I'm like, I'll tell you why, man. I know I'm going off the target, but I like going to Costco now. I never really cared about Costco, but they have some clothing there that now I threw out all my old clothes and I have all new clothes and socks. They have the best socks in the world there where I put my foot in and the whole, from the toe all the way up, just warmth. And soft. And I'm like, woohoo! I'm like, this is great. I can't wait to go to bed to wake up and put on new socks. And they got undies. These like really satin undies. I've never had undies like this. These are great. The t-shirts, right, Tony? I don't wear t-shirts. I wear them all the time now because they're so soft. I'm not even joking. It's real seriously that, like, if you don't have these clothes, isn't it something? Man, it's like I can't wait to put it on. How come we can't feel that way about putting on God in the morning? He fits me just fine. He makes me feel warm. He makes me feel comforted. He makes me feel strong. He makes me feel confident. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you'll have to forgive me today, because I'm excited about being back. I'm happy about being here. I could not wait to come to church this morning. And I think it's just because of you guys.
Amen.
You're welcome. I could not wait to just see you. Just being here this morning, whether I was up here or down there, just being here this morning makes me feel great.
Amen.
Makes me feel stronger. Makes me feel have joy. And guess what? If coming to church doesn't make you have joy, you're wearing the wrong armor. Amen. If coming to church, you don't realize how much I need church. Amen. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the what? Hope of salvation." See, this armor of God is not a new thing, and it's not a real armor that you have to put on. What you have to do is, with your mind and with your heart, desire to put on Christ in the morning.
Amen.
Remember Him.
Amen.
Think of Him. And with your mind, remember your salvation. Because it all starts up here, I believe. You know, I hate to use this analogy, but on Avengers, and they would have, like, Iron Man. I don't know how they did it, because we're kind of stupid. They would just push a button, and it would all over their body. I'm like, how's that happen? But that's kind of what I want you to think about in your mind. As soon as you start thinking about your salvation, it should get an armor. Like, you should start to, I'm saved. Say it tonight. Say, today, say, I'm saved.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Are you sure?
Amen.
Do you know it? Is it truth?
Yes.
Can anyone take it from you?
No.
The devil's going to try.
Amen.
You ever doubt your salvation?
No.
Yeah, you've been around long enough, you will. And not it doesn't mean you really doubt, but that's why the Bible says examine yourself. Know your own self. Prove your own self. See if you be in the faith. Lest you be, there's a chance. You got it, the helmet of salvation. I'm just here to tell you that we have to understand. It says, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. And that hope of salvation is, are you saved today? And the answer is yes. Are you in heaven yet? No. Do you see God yet? Are you in your glorified body yet? No. So that's what you're hoping for, the total of salvation. You understand? You have the hope of salvation where? In here and in here, don't you? So that hope isn't on the outside, is it? It's on the inside. So where does the armor actually go? On the inside. It starts in here, the helmet of salvation, and it starts with truth. Amen? I want to, because of time, John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So therefore, we need to have, if you go back to Ephesians with me, please. I'm sorry, we're going to stay there. But in Ephesians, in verse 15, no, verse 14, sorry. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." What does a breastplate do? It protects your heart. Protects your heart. According to God, what protects your heart? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Are you righteous? Do you feel righteous? No. Most of the time we don't feel righteous, do we? But we know we are righteous. Because God says you are. If God calls you one thing, and the whole world calls you another, who's right? If you feel one thing, but God says another, who's right? So it has nothing to do with your feelings, does it? Has nothing to do with what everyone else says, does it? Has to do with what God says. And God says, through Jesus Christ, you're righteous. That's why when we put on Jesus in the morning, and we think of our salvation, how can you be saved? Are you saved? Help me. How can you be saved and not be righteous? How can you be saved going to heaven and not be righteous? Exactly. That's what happens is, yeah, you're saved, but you ain't righteous. You know what you do. You know how you think. You know, and that's how the enemies in the darkness get in. See how simple it is? You can't be, you know you're saved, right? Like, no one can talk you out of that. Can I get an amen? But they can talk you out of you're righteous. And that's what happens when you're righteous and you know it. You got the chest down a little bit. Like, yeah. I'm afraid of you, devil. I know with God's... You know what I mean? It's like you get bolder. You get stronger. Your heart now. You don't have a weak heart. You have a strong heart. It's a protected heart. And that heart is protected by God because He's got your heart.
Amen.
And that's what I want. I want God to have your heart. Look with me if you would, please, in verse 15. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The righteousness breastplate, it covers the heart, it protects the heart, it guards the heart. The feet with the gospel means go and preach the gospel. Let me tell you what the devil hates, okay? Because if you can tell a lot about a person by their enemies. You can tell a lot. I don't know really Donald Trump, but I know all his enemies, so I like him. I like him. Yeah, but he's, I don't care. Look at his enemies. I like him. He's doing something right. When you have a preacher out there preaching and you know, everyone's attacking him, I'm like, he's probably doing something right. And I just want you to think about this, is that the Bible tells us that one of the things the devil hates is the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
The gospel is powerful. So that means it's more powerful than him. And so therefore he wants to do his best to not only get in, to not only make you depressed, to not only lead you astray, not only get you down, and not only take your joy. Because I'll tell you right now, In all reality, don't answer this. Just think about it in your heads. How many times have you gone out actually soul winning? How many times have you gone out actually knocking on people's doors and trying to give them the gospel? How many times have you actually gone out with a purpose of giving out gospel tracts and witnessing to people? That's my point. There's a reason why. Because look in Mark and we'll finish. Mark 16. Because the devil hates it. The devil will do anything he can to stop you from doing it. You know why? Because if you ever went out and you've ever tried to witness somebody, how effective do you think you are if you don't have the joy of the Lord? Just want to tell you about Jesus. He'll save you. Give you heaven. Okay, thanks. I'm here to give you the good news. Jesus died on the cross, and he'll save you too. Okay? But if you got joy, like, I got to tell you something. Listen, I'm being serious. No, seriously, I got to tell you something. It's dead serious. I'm not even joking around. That every single person born is going to hell. Everybody. I'm going to hell. You're going to hell. But and that's not good. But God loves you, and he sent his son Jesus to die so to save you from it. So you just get excited. You have a little joy about whatever you're talking about. Maybe someone will, like, want to listen.
Joy unspeakable.
Joy unspeakable, full of glory. But he tells us that in Mark chapter 16, look in verse 15 with me. Jesus says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to everything. I just want you to know, listen, how many people are a little bit timid about preaching the gospel to people? Come on, you're allowed. You're allowed. Yeah. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. It doesn't come natural. I'm not saying it does. So God didn't say go preach it to every person. Thank you, Jesus. He said every creature. Start with your dog. Give your dog the gospel. Give the birds in the tree the gospel. All by yourself out in the field. Say, hey, bird, let me just tell you about Jesus. He said every creature, didn't he? Hey, why don't you tell the worms about Jesus? Why don't you tell the rocks? Because, you know, they'll cry out if someone doesn't praise them. Why don't you tell your cats? Cats really need it because they're all going to hell anyway. So you definitely need to get your cats saved. Amen. Preach to every creature. Why do you think he said that? And I'm going to be done. Why do you think the Bible said preach to every creature? Anybody got an idea? Theory? Huh? Yeah, practice. God knows it's hard to go to somebody. So why don't you practice on your dog? He'll listen. Dogs are cool. Your cat might listen. He might, or he's just going to turn his back on you, stick his tail up in the air and walk away like they normally do. But the dog will listen. Especially if you got a treat, put a treat in front of him, that dog will listen all day. Yes, sir.
I just want to say one thing about that. When in the hospital the other day with Donna, and I was talking the gospel to that girl, I said, that's my job, to go out and spread the gospel to everyone. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I just can't believe you like that. Because I can feel it around it. And just went on and on with her. Her husband, like I said, her husband didn't want to hear it back. He's still
getting rid of it. Amen.
Praise the
Lord. Amen. But the thing is you don't just go to there. So that's why God said, preach the gospel. Go. Preach the gospel to every creature. And you know why? Because he knows that we need practice. He knows we need boldness. He knows we need righteousness. He knows we need the truth. He knows we need the helmet of salvation. He knows we need the shield of faith. He knows we need the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Which is the Word of God. We need those things. How can you go out and do what the devil's fighting against you to do without first practicing? Go and preach it to your dog. Go and preach it to your newborn child. Go and preach it to the birds in the sky. Go and preach it to yourself. Definitely, wives, preach it to your husbands. And husbands, preach it to your wives. Amen? Just preach it as much as you can, and you'll start to get stronger and stronger and bolder and bolder, and you'll have knowledge of salvation. You'll know the truth in your heart. Amen? In your loins. Your heart will be guarded, and you'll have the shield of faith, and you'll be able to go out and do exactly what the devil doesn't want you to do and preach the gospel. Let's finish up. And it says, and he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. See, the devil doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to get pulled. Yes, Brian.
Could creatures include angels, though, also?
It's a creature. Preach to anything. Doesn't matter. Preach to anything. Preach to anything and anything that moves, and you'll start to get better and better at it. Amen. We're out of time. I'm going to ask, what's that? Where was it? Mark chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. It even says in verse 18, it says, they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick and shall recover. Now this was, of course, for the apostles, but it's for us now. The apostles had certain powers to prove they were the apostles. But we have certain powers to prove that we're the children of God. And either way, God, the devil doesn't want you to do it. He hates it. Amen. So let's have some joy. Let's have some strength. Let's start to do what we're doing and get out there and preach the gospel. Amen. Tony, could you close us in prayer, please?